Blog Talk Radio.
This is DJP, and you're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA.
I was so used to doing MMA Destruction for 2.5 years that I keep forgetting that this is now The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire. So I apologize to my listeners. I apologize to my sponsors. It's 2 days in a row I've done that. Sometimes we get caught up in the past and we don't realize we are actually in the future. You know, today's show is kind of a one-on-one special with a little buddy of mine that I think she's a tremendous asset to the sport. I think anybody that has her on their promotion should truly, you know, be happy because she brings a lot of fan support, she brings a lot of enthusiasm, and she most certainly brings it to the cage. And, you know, I'm very impressed with who she is in life and her walk. With that being said, I'm going to welcome the Mogwai, Kira Butera, to the show. Kira, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much, Don. Thanks for having me on your show again.
Oh, I'm blessed and honored. You know, I don't know if you can respond back to this, but it was just something that perplexed in my mind. And as a journalist, we always got to ask a question. But you know me, I don't always expect my guest to answer. You know, I spend a lot of time on social media, so I'm going to get the hard question out of the way, and then we could just move on to the rest of the interview. You know, I saw some things perplex about this fight that's happening July 27th. You know, there were some issues stressed out there about you and things of that nature. Is there any angle or anything that you can touch on about what the people seen play out on social media?
Yeah, that is a very hard question for me to answer under certain circumstances. If anyone follows me on social media, they know a lot about me. I don't try to hide things from my fans. I don't try to sugarcoat myself as a person. I'm not going to have my family, friends, and fans think that I live this glamorous life with amazing training where I win all my fights and there's never anything hard in my life. I want to be very personable with everyone. I want them to know the struggles that I go through throughout fight camp, throughout trying to live paycheck to paycheck while I'm waiting for my fight call. I want them to know that I do have tremendous support from my family, and that's why I'm still with them, living in the same household as them in Vegas. I want them to know everything. I want them to personally know me and respect me as a fighter and as a person. For the people that do follow me, they did see different things on my social media about me not having a fight coming up, but then there was a post on Twitter that was kind of – like questionable on, well, does she have a fight or does she not have a fight? That was honestly questionable for me as well. I was in a spot where I didn't know if I was fighting or not. I'm not going to say any names, but anyone that follows me on social media, they can clearly go back on Twitter, on Facebook, and they can see everything that they need to see. From my understanding, I did not have a fight coming up. It was a no-go. I was begging for fights. I didn't make weight. That's my biggest regret of my fight career. I'd never been unprofessional in my fight career. I always show up. I'm there to kick ass. I always go through killer fight camps. But it was 2.5 pounds. I called at 5 a.m. I called at 5 a.m. and I go, hey, like, I need you to call my opponent, let her know that I'm not going to make weight. It's 5 a.m. I'm killing myself. I'm running. I'm in the sauna, but I'm still 2.5 pounds over. I'm going to do whatever it takes before weigh-ins, but I can almost guarantee I'm not going to get to weight. It's just not falling off. And with that being said, the organization pulled me off the card. I was cramping up. I wasn't losing any weight. They didn't want me to be hospitalized, so they were looking out for my best interest. And they go, if you know your body, if you tell me that you're not going to get past 2.5 pounds, we're going to pull you off the card, or we're going to ask for a catch weight. My opponent refused the catch weight. She didn't want the catch weight. And so they agreed, okay, we're just going to let you rehydrate. We're not going to get you at the official weigh-ins. We don't want you to suffer anymore. Just rehydrate. It's okay. Like, these things happen, no problem. After that, it became a really big issue. From one thing that I didn't think that was going to be that big of a deal, especially being that they were the ones that pulled me off the card, it just turned into a mess with my opponent talking very badly, very poorly about me. And I immediately wanted this rematch. I was like, my opponent is calling me unprofessional. I asked for a catch weight. She refused a catch weight, but please just give me the fight. So I was begging Combate, like, get me a fight. I don't even care if it's with her. I just want to prove to everyone, to my fans, my family, my friends, to myself, that I can make the weight, that I am professional. I wasn't getting the fights that I wanted. I wasn't getting the Mexico card. I didn't get the California card. I wasn't getting on any cards. So I kind of made some comments, some typical Mogwai confident comments on Twitter saying, hey, like, I'm still the best. You know I'm the best. Like, just because I missed weight doesn't mean that I'm any lower in rankings. Like, I'm still 3-0 under the Combate banner. Please get me a fight. There were words said. There were a lot of words said amongst other people, but in the end, I got what I wanted. Sometimes you have to say things that are gonna kind of mix things up, but I mean, in the end, I got what I wanted. So I know that my fans, my friends, my family are all supporting me, and they've seen what was said and what was not said. So I think that's,
yeah. We'll let all that go. Yeah. Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but we'll let all that go, because that truly isn't who Kira Butera is. Kira Butera is this, you know, beast in the cage, but in real life, you're always happy. You're always very, you know, family-oriented. You can tell you love life, and you respect each and every aspect of the sport, and you've backed Combate since day one. So, you know, things happen in the past for a reason. We're moving into the future. We're jumping to Miami, July 27th. You got the fight you wanted, Vanessa Rico Fernandez. You know, would you say that because of what's played out that you're going to walk into this octagon with more of a chip on your shoulder than Kira's ever walked into a fight?
Definitely. Martial arts is a sport about respect for your opponents, respect about the sport. With my opponent, Vanessa, I feel like she is disrespecting me. She's jumping to conclusions. She never even saw my weight. She's convinced that I was 5 pounds over, which wasn't a factor at all. She's been talking all over social media, just saying how I'm unprofessional, how I'm scared, how that's why I didn't sign a contract, even though I'm still 12 weeks out from the fight. So the way that she's talking right now, I'm definitely taking that to heart, and I'm going in there with definitely some an angry Mogwai. She's not going to want to mess with that. So,
yeah.
I mean,
I feel you there, you know, because it's like I've never seen you trash talk anybody. Like I said, I've always seen this cheerful person. But I am going to kind of put you on the spot, because I seen a picture the other day with Kira Butera looking out of the window in a hotel room. And I look back to when I first had you on the show, and, you know, you've always reminded me of this 16-year-old little cheerleader-type girl and this and that. And then the other day I see this picture of this young, beautiful Kira Butera. What has transformed from the day you first stepped into this sport, the octagon, to now? How has Kira Butera grown up? How has she matured into the young lady she is today?
It's funny that you say that. I have been in the sport a very long time. I've been in the sport since I was 13 years old. So I still have guys come up to me all the time, fighters from all over, from Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, that they still see me as that little cute girl next door, 13-year-old Kira that joined Team Quest back in the day, that was doing tournaments just herself and her her little brother with her family. So I love that reputation. I love being the little sister to all the fighters. I don't want to have that sex appeal that a lot of the fighters have. I enjoy being the cute little cheerleader. But I have matured. I'm going to be 23 in September. I am turning into a young woman. I'm not that same little kid anymore. I've been through a lot in the sport. I've definitely earned my spot on the mats, putting in the hours. I've gone through numerous different fight organizations, being pushed around and trying to work my way up to the top. I think that growing as a woman, that who I am today, that it's just constantly facing challenges like the one that we were kind of touching on just now. That it is a dirty sport. It's a dirty sport, and those challenges that I face all the time are helping me mature and become the hungry fighter that I am today. It's one of those things that it'll make or break you. In this sport, you have to learn to really grow thick skin, and you have to stay hungry, you have to stay motivated, you have to stay positive. The biggest thing that I always tell people when they ask me, like, what's a piece of advice that you can give me in this sport? And I always tell them, like, stay positive and stay passionate. If you're not positive and passionate, you're not going to go anywhere in the sport. You can do it every day, but this is such a sport with so much mental toughness that you have to be passionate what you're doing. Otherwise, you're not going to go anywhere. And I think that the more and more I spend with everyone in the gym and facing the difficulties and facing the losses, that is definitely making me the woman I am today.
Yeah, and you better not post any more pictures like that, because I was like, oh, that can't be the same Kira. But, you know, it's true. You take it back to your fight in Ryzen, and you've got this smunky, cute little cheerleader persona looking through the ropes as she's fighting her opponent, smiling at the camera. And then you go to this picture, and it's like, wow. But, you know, I don't usually even say things like that. That's bad on you, Kira, for even going there and posting something like that. You know, I look at you as, you know, you're really a voice for this sport. You know, I interview a lot of fighters in this business, you know, from legends to world champions to people who are 0-6, because I believe everybody deserves a voice in this world. And there's a lot of shows out there that won't give, you know, some of those fighters, some of those up-and-comers, a voice to truly show who they are, not just in the octagon, but outside the octagon. So when I ask you this question, Kira, kind of think of it more of on a heart basis. When you look at life and you look at every aspect that you've been through, who truly is Kira Patera?
That's definitely one that I could touch personal on. People ask me a lot, like, well, who are you? Like, what do you stand for? And what is your spot in this sport? And my spot in the sport, like, I never wanted to be that person, like, in the UFC. I never dreamed of, hey, I just want to be a UFC champ one day. For me, as a person, I was bullied a lot growing up. I was a very insecure kid. I got voted most quiet kid in class once. Cheerleading and dancing opened up a lot of doors for me, just trying to get out my personality and try to be more outgoing with people and not so closed off and shy. After I started fighting is what really gave me that factor that I needed in my life, that gave me that confidence that I needed. And before, I was outgoing, I talked to people, but I was never really secure with myself. And as I started fighting more, as I started getting my wins, earning my wins, really, like, I was putting in the mat time, I was eating right. It's one of those challenges that a lot of people don't get to face in life. They don't get to personally push themselves to their limits, and that's why I love fighting. Fighting really pushes to your limits, and it shows you the type of person that you can be, and that's why I love fighting. It really shows me that now, today, as a person, that I'm this person that grew from being something so small and insecure. Like, I'm little. I'm 4'11". I'm just a little kid in Vegas. I'm 22 years old. Like, a lot of people don't know me. I don't have a whole lot of friends in Vegas. But with fighting, like, I feel like I'm on top of the world. I feel like I am capable of doing anything I put my mind to. And so when you ask me, who am I, like, what do I stand for, I think that for me, I just want to show people that if you put your mind to what you love, that you're capable of doing exactly that. If you have a passion for something, that my passion, I'm extremely passionate, and I'm going to go after those goals. I'm a go-getter. I'm a type of person that is going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. I'm going to have my family and my friends and my fans right there by my side. I don't want to do it alone. I'm not... I'm independent, but I want everybody there that supports me right there with me. So, yeah, like you said, I'm family oriented. I love having people around me. I love people supporting me. I want to help people that were in the same spot as me, that didn't believe in themselves, that were bullied in high school, that have that low self-confidence, that, oh, I kind of have this dream of being a doctor, or I have this dream of being a rock star, whatever it may be, and they think it's silly or they think it's far-fetched. I want to be the person that's like, hey, I never thought that I was going to be a fighter. I was a cheerleader. I was a shy little cheerleader, but look at me. I'm ranked at the top, at one of the top levels in women MMA right now. So I just want to, I want to live to inspire people. I want to live to constantly push myself to the limits and see where I can get in life. And I want everyone right there along with me as I make my way to the top.
Yeah, you know, God, you couldn't have said it more better, because I go back. I mean, I've interviewed you, several times, and I go back in your career, and, you know, and you've always been a tremendous person, you know, on the show. And then I remember you kind of taking a little stint and commentating, and then next thing you know, here's Kira Butera over in Japan fighting for Ryzen. What did that moment mean for you? Because not very many fighters get the opportunity to go overseas and fight for such a prestigious promotion. What did that mean to Kira Butera?
It was surreal. Like I said, I was a shy little kid. I was a cheerleader. I was a dancer. I was homeschooled in high school. I ended up doing beauty school 1 year. I didn't know what I wanted in life. I was still figuring things out. I didn't really know what made my, where my heart was going. And once I found fighting, I found this passion that I never thought that I could be capable of having. And I just wanted to fight so bad. I just wanted to prove to myself and prove to everyone that I could be the best. And I still believe that I can be the best atomweight in the world. And so I'm pushing towards that every single day. When I got that call to fight for Ryzen, it was just... I had to stop what I was doing. I couldn't believe it. It's, like you said, it's an incredible opportunity. A lot of people don't get to do it. It was a fight that I didn't want. It was a fight out of my weight class. It was across seas. I've never even been that far away from the United States. So it was one of those things that was completely out of my comfort zone. But also, I'm the type of person that I want to do everything once. I want to cross off every single thing off my bucket list. So once I got that fight call, I was all over it, regardless of it being a 125 or cutting to 115, a fight that I knew that I'd probably lose. I could work my ass off, but I knew it was going to be a really tough fight, which it was. And that being said, I would love to get the opportunity to go back there. I just got informed that they're having a Grand Prix in October for my weight class at 110, and I would love to be on that card. So anyone listening, please just be in Ryzen's ear on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Let them know you want to see the Mogwai back in Japan. I would love to represent, and I know that's my weight class, and that's where I can win the whole thing.
All right, well, I'm going to put you on the spot, because you truly have a friend that's also a world champion, atomweight. Let's say you do get this call for the tournament, and let's say she does too. You know, has Kira Butera ever been in a situation where you've had to face a friend in the octagon? And if so, you know, let's say you do get that call, you know, to the tournament, you end up fighting Annie Nguyen. How would that be perplexed in the mind of you, Kira?
That has crossed my mind, thinking about me wanting to do the Grand Prix. I've talked to her. She thinks that I should do the Grand Prix as well. We're super supportive of each other. Andy's been there for me before I even went pro. I've known her since I was an amateur, and she's seriously one of the sweetest girls I've ever met in MMA. I was right there watching her on my iPad, screaming for her at home, cheering her on in her fight, and which I always will. And so we've talked about it. We agreed that we wouldn't fight. If we got a fight contract for King of the Cage, for Combate, we'd say no, we don't want to fight each other. But I mean, if it comes to it, if we're in a Grand Prix and we have to fight each other, I'm about it. I'm a competitor. It's part of the sport. It's part of the game. It's nothing personal towards her. I was a wrestler first. I've wrestled numerous friends throughout the sport. And they're some of my best friends in high school that I had to fight in state. I had to wrestle them in state, and I lost. Some of them I beat. I beat one of my really good friends in a national tournament. I lost to one of my really good friends in a state tournament. It's one of those things where it's.
Are you there, or did we lose you, Kira? Kira, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Hello? Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. So I was saying...
You just broke off on me, man.
Oh, weird. What was the last thing you heard?
It was basically, we'll just surmise it to where you were talking about, you know, you've wrestled against people, you know, all through your life that were your friends. And, you know, I'm going to jump into an interview that I had the other day because it's truly a tremendous fight. And I'm honored to have both these men as friends in life. And that's Liam McGarry and Linton Vassella, who said they're going to fight on the 19th in Bellator London. And I had them both on the same show, and, you know, I was very delighted. And, you know, I asked Liam McGarry, I said, you know, it's probably going to be one of the biggest cards in the UK, as he's never been able to fight in the UK the first time he was injured, so he couldn't. I said, you know, what is it going to mean for you to fight, you know, basically a friend? And he said, you know, Don, he said, I'll put it the best way I can. Liam's my mate. I have no ill words to say about him. He said, but you got to look at it as a job. When that cage door locks, you're punching in on the time clock, and you got to go to work because that's how you feed your family. He
mm-hmm.
said, but once that cage door opens, I'll be the first to hug him, congratulate him, and buy him a beer, win or lose. And I think that's what this sport should be about. And this is what made me fall in love with this sport, is there are still true warriors out there. You know, not everybody needs to be the Conor McGregors and people in that aspect that have truly, I call it the new era of the sport, which has truly ruined my thought of it. And it has me even contemplating retirement on some aspects. And that's why I created the show, The Fighter's Voice, because it truly gives, like I said earlier, it gives you guys a voice, an opportunity to say how you truly feel about the sport and what you love. But I kind of want to take a step back and ask you kind of a deep question, Kira. You look at everything that's transpired in your life from being a child to now, and you look at all the achievements you've accrued and everything that you set goals in your life to accomplish, and you have, you know, do you ever sit back and reflect on Kira Batura? And if you do, what thoughts come to mind?
I have a lot. Sometimes it's one of those days where it's like, man, why did I choose fighting? I could have done anything in the world. Why am I fighting? Like, I'm broke. I have no fights coming up. It's like one of those sports where sometimes you're super depressed about it, and then other times you're like, oh, yeah, I'm super stoked for my fight. So I am young. I've thought about what my life would be like if I wasn't fighting. But I've also thought about, hey, I have the potential to be the best in the world. And that's an incredible feeling to think about. As I reflect right now, I wouldn't change anything. I'm so happy. I'm so blessed that I have a family that has been extremely supportive in my career. Like I said, I started when I was 13 years old. I've been doing this pretty much half my life now. I'll be 24 in September. So almost half my life I've been in the sport, and I wouldn't take back anything. I've put in the hours. I've met amazing people. It's helped to form me into the woman I am today. I think that there's some of the best people in the world that I've met through martial arts, and it's continuing to grow. I'm continuing to grow as a fighter. I'm so appreciative of everybody, just like people like you. Like, I get to run into great people like you every single day that I get to get be interviewed and talk about my standpoint on fighting. I get to fight for amazing organizations like Ryzen. I'm going to be able to have the fight of my life in Miami coming up for Combate. These are things that I wouldn't have been able to do as an everyday person working a 9-to-5 job. And so life works in crazy ways, different things, curveballs get thrown at you all the time. But the person I am today and what I stand for and what I want to accomplish in life, I'm so happy that this is the life that I get to live, I live to be a fighter, to please my family, my friends, my fans, and show them, hey, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to show you that I can be the best.
And you have tremendous, in a tremendous fashion, you know. You made a statement that is so dang true. I mean, I'm 51 years old, so, you know, I look at the statement that you just made, and it's truly gratifying because, you know, first of all, you didn't choose to be a fighter. You were born to be a fighter, you know, and I can say that because I've been in this business going on 21 years, and you know, I'm on my, like, fifth or sixth generation of fighters, and it kind of stymies me sometimes. I go, damn, Don, you're old. But, you know, you look at it, and this sport, you never get rich at it. You know, few do, but, you know, for the most part, most don't. You know, including myself, people think because I've shot for some of the top promotions in the world, and I'm one of the most sought-after photographers in what I do, that, you know, I live this extravagant life. I don't, you know, I just get by. You know, we do this because we love this. This is something that is instilled in who we are and our character and our human nature. It allows us to, you know, perplex who we are in this sport. But do we get rich by any means? No. Especially in photography, you know, if most people realize, you know, the average camera is $10,000 to $12,000, you know, it's... It doesn't really leave much money left in your pocket having a hobby that is so expensive. And, you know, you talk about all the avenues you had, but yet you ended up in this sport. And that reminds me so much of me because I had my associates in mechanical engineering technology. I got my master's in engineering science, and I ended up a combat sports photographer. Will I ever have an answer for that? No. I just do it because I love what you guys do. I love the sport. And to be complete and honest, you know, this show, I don't get paid to do the show. My sponsors pay for the show. I do this show out of my own pocket. And it's because of fighters like you who truly exemplify what the sport is about. And you do it with integrity, and that's all I've ever asked from the sport, and that's what, you know, I've lost some heart with the Conor McGregors, but it's fighters like you that reinstill my love and my passion for the sport. So first and foremost, thank you for being who you are as a person and as a young lady in life. You truly are instrumental, not in just changing your fans' life, but people who have been in this business for a long time, we look to, you know, fighters like you to reinvigorate us in the sport that we love and have lost some passion for. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That's exactly what I was talking about staying positive, staying passionate, that if you're positive, you're passionate about what you're doing, I think that's the most important thing in life.
You know, I kind of seen a post, so I'm kind of... I like to dig in sometimes on certain things. And, you know, how pertinent and how relevant is Casey Halstead in the making of Kira Batira?
Casey has been with me for a long time. He's known me since when I went way back in the day. I think I met him when I was 14, 15 years old. It's just like anybody else in 10th Planet. They see me at a tournament, and they take to me right away. That's why I love 10th Planet so much. Eddie has done a tremendous job doing what he has for the sport and growing his team, his coaches, all the kids up and coming. They're just tremendous athletes. All the coaches, as soon as you meet a 10th Planet coach, they will take to you like family. And that's exactly what Casey did for me. I met him at a Gracie tournament, and he immediately felt treated me like family. One of my fights back in June, I fought for Bama. I didn't have an extra corner, and I went up to him, only working with him maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks total of my fight career. And I said, Casey, I don't have another coach. Can you please come coach me? And he did. He, without even a blink of an eye, he was like, yes, I will coach you. And he did. I ended up losing that fight. It wasn't a good fight camp. But I called him the next day, and I go, Casey, I love what you're doing. You're coaching Tony Ferguson. I see you doing great things for your Monster Squad in Costa Mesa. I would love to be a part of your team. I live in Vegas, but I'm going to do what I can to try to be a part of what you're doing. I think you're doing great things. And he was just so happy and grateful that I told him this. And he was like, yeah, you can come stay with me whenever you want. So he actually housed me when I was the first ever female for EBI, my first female match for EBI. I got to go against Talita Alencar, a very tough opponent. He housed me. He got me ready for that fight. He got me ready for my very first Combate Americas fight. We then had two other fights together. In December, I fought for Combate, and also in April of last year, I fought for Combate. I went 3-0 under the banner with Casey. I love him. He's a great guy, great coach. He's here in Vegas now, doing his thing for Monster Squad of Vegas. But he does have a lot on his plate. He does have a lot of other fighters, and I'm so happy for him. I'm so happy that he's getting to live his dream of coaching all these fighters and opening up all these gyms. He just opened up another gym in Tucson. I think he has 3 or 4 gyms in California. He has 2 gyms now in Vegas, and he's looking to branch out more. And so I'm so happy for him. He has 2 young daughters, a wife that loves him. He's doing great things. It's just that he does have a lot going on, and he can't give me the time that I need personally in my fight camp. So I did have to go elsewhere to look for fight camp coaches, and I can't travel the way that he travels. He's in Arizona. He's in California. He's constantly all over the world. Traveling for these UFC fighters, and I'm very happy for him. I just seen him the other day. I signed my fight contract with him, so there's no hard feelings between us. I love him to death. I wish that he could be my coach for me. It's just that he's just not here in Vegas that can give me the time that I need to be that head coach.
Well, see, what I was getting at is, you know, he truly has been an inspiration and in a lot of ways, in guidance in the making of Kira Batura. Not necessarily that, you know, he's going to be able to be there for every fight or be there, you know, this summer for your, you know, this big opportunity for you. It's just, I like for sometimes to relevance to be played to people that help create people. And, you know, this sport sometimes, you know, people ask me, Don, why do you do shows with the inner workings of the sport? Well, if it wasn't for the inner workings of a sport, there wouldn't be a sport. You know, the same for a fighter. If there wasn't any fans, there wouldn't be, you know, any fighter, and there wouldn't be me. So, you know, I try to give everybody in the sport mutual respect and give them a voice. You know, I want to kind of take you back, Kira, to when you were a young girl, before you even got into wrestling. You know, because there was a certain point in time that you had to go to your parents, and you had to say, you know, this is what I want to do. And I know most fathers are cool with the situations, but how was your mother when you told her that you wanted to get into wrestling, and then eventually you had to have the talk about stepping in the cage? How did your family take the creation of the Mogwai?
A lot of people ask us that. A lot of people will go up to my mom and be like, how do you let your pretty daughter go in the cage? You want her to get her face punched in? And I come from like a old school, like, Filipino family. So a lot of my Filipino family is like, why do you do this? Why do you get punched in the face for a living? You're so pretty. Like, you need to be a nurse. You need to work in the hospital. You need to find a husband. Like, you're just getting punched in the face for a living. And I think it's hilarious. I love fighting, and my family's been there for me from the start. My dad is the one that got me first started over in Team Quest in Gresham. He's the one that forced me in the gym. I wanted nothing to do with it. I didn't want to fight at all. He started training with me every day, just kind of learned self-defense. He wanted me in a sport. I wasn't cheering at the time. I didn't have anything else going on at the time. But my brother did it, I did it, and my dad did it. And I'm always family-oriented. I've always been a daddy's girl. My dad has coached me in basketball. My mom was my Girl Scout troop leader for 12-plus years. They've always been about whatever it is that we wanted to do. They were there for us. My mom and my dad coached my brother's soccer team. He coached my sister's soccer team. He coached my basketball team. My mom was my Girl Scout leader. They went to every single cheer practice, every single dance practice, every single competition. So when I told them that I wanted to wrestle, it was no different. They didn't see anything else that it was any other sport. They just thought, this is what my daughter wants to do, and I'm going to be there for her. So my brother was wrestling at the same time I was wrestling, so my dad had to go with my brother every weekend, and my mom would go with me every weekend. Every single weekend, my mom was there. She was there at every single wrestling practice. She was there every time I spar. She's there every single tournament. She's also even cornered me for one of my fights in Montana. My mom is super supportive. She's one of my best friends, and even to this day, we're at True Fusion together, working out together. She's the one making sure that it's the last 5 minutes of class, and I feel like I'm dying. And she's like, no, there's 5 minutes left. You're going to freaking keep pushing it. So, I mean, I'm very blessed to have a family that is so extremely supportive. And I wouldn't have it any other way. My mom is definitely a mom, the cool mom that's like, hey, you need to hurt her. You need to put her, like, show her who's boss. So she's not the mom that's closing her eyes, scared that I'm going to get punched. She's definitely the mom that's like, come on. Like, I wasn't at every single practice seeing you work hard to watch you fail. Like, you're going to succeed. You're going to kick her ass. So, like I said, I'm blessed. I'm truly blessed. I love my family. They're always supportive. They're always right there for me, cheering me on. My biggest cheerleaders.
I love that. You know, and I'm just going to add something real quick. If for some reason we get cut off, right now the tornado sirens are going off outside of the studio. So, you know, just to let you know, if we do get cut off, it's nothing personal. I just now heard the tornado sirens going off as I live in the Midwest, and we're not under the greatest weather right now. But, you know, Kerry, you've always been a tremendous guest on my show. And you know, you've always done great things in the sport. When you look in the heart of Kira Batura, what would you like to do as far as, you know, giving back to the sport that made you? How would you like to look back and give a reflection to the youth of this sport? If you could, what would that be?
You know, I'm always giving back for everything. I want to constantly just give back to, whether it be for fighting, whether it be for homeless shelters, whether it be helping out with animal shelter. I'm always constantly trying to give back. And being the spot that I'm in the sport and what the sport has done for me, that does have a huge spot in my heart. And so I want to do whatever I can to give back for this sport. One of the big things for me is coaching. I love working with kids. I love working with the younger generation. I love inspiring. One thing that I feel like is the big thing that I could give back is inspiring the younger generation to, whether kids want to fight or not, I just want to be there for them and help them be in better physical shape. I want them to grow confidence. I help out a lot with nonprofit organizations for my friend Kita. She does bully busters. I've also held my own anti-bullying events. I'm constantly trying to promote that we're not against bullies. We want to grow kids' confidence. We want them to know self-defense. I want kids to be passionate about what they're doing. I want them to have that that love that I feel in my life, that I want them to feel loved that by their friends, by their family, whoever it is in their life, I want them to make sure that they do have a spot on this planet and that they're going to do great things, whether it's being a doctor or being a fighter, whatever it is that they want. I want to be that role model for them. And right now I'm working at UFC gym. I also help coach at Team Nevada Select. I have a great group of kids. I don't know if you've seen the picture I posted the other day. I had 20 plus kids in my UFC gym class, and every single one of them have different personalities, different ways of that they look in life, and they make me smile so much. I didn't want to coach kids again. It is a really hard job trying to keep a bunch of kids focused, especially during fight camp when you're hungry, you're irritable, you're tired from practices. But when I see those kids, they really make me happy. They're very supportive of what I do, and I want to be the one there for them and support them. If they didn't have that, how my mom was for me in my life, I want to be that person for them. I want to help support them. I want to be their cheerleader. I want to show them that they are capable of doing whatever it is that they want to do. And so for me, that's the way that I do want to give back to the sport.
And I think you have quite a bit. You know, I'm going to ask you a silly question because I can. You know, how hard is it, being that you are from Filipino descent, how hard is it for you to stay away from the adobo, the pancit, the lumpia, you know? Because I'll tell you what, you know, I grew up around a bunch of Filipinos, and, you know, the food is truly tremendous. And, you know, and then I learned to love Mexican food, too, even though I'm American Indian, but my mom was a migrant farm worker. So when it does come, you know, we know you missed weight, and, you know, things like that happen. But... you know, how hard is it for you to stay away from all that delicious Filipino food? Because I know I couldn't.
Yeah, it's really hard. My dad works at Henderson Hospital here in Vegas, and he's always bringing food from catering events. They seriously have amazing food, and my dad's also a great cook. So he's always making, whether it be cookies, homemade cookies, or he'll make adobo. And then, like, my grandma, she's always the worst, my Mexican grandma, because I'm Mexican too. So I have a Mexican grandma that's always trying to feed me. I have my Filipino side that is always having great food and parties, and I'm always the one at parties like, oh, I'll be here with my celery sticks. So if you know anything about Filipinos or Mexicans, they're always having tons of food. And so
you can't go over to a relative's house without them stepping into the kitchen and cooking as soon as you walk in the door. So, I know.
It's a struggle, you know, for sure. But like I said, I've been doing this for almost half my life. They've gotten used to it. I've gotten used to it. I had to deal with wrestling hydration week. Passing hydration testing was always during Thanksgiving. So for Thanksgiving, for 4 years of my life, I didn't even get to enjoy Thanksgiving. I didn't really get to enjoy Christmas cookies. I didn't get to enjoy New Year's. So I'm used to it. I've had fights during my birthday. I've had fights during all the holidays. I've had wrestling during the holidays. So it doesn't play a – I mean, it does. It does, of course. Who doesn't love food? I'm a huge foodie. If you follow me on Instagram, on Snapchat, you know I love food. It's not the reason
yeah,
I didn't make weight. I promise.
Like
I
said.
But,
no more
yeah,
pictures,
it
but
doesn't.
Last one, though. You know, it just – I don't know. In life, I find things to be very humbling. And, you know, you truly – I look up to certain fighters, whether they're legends, whether they're champions, or whether they're just somebody that's truly doing what they have a passion and they love. And you just happen to be one of them fighters that I admire. And so with that, you know, there's great respect there. But, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot because, you know, like I said, it's my show and I can. And I do this quite a bit to, you know, some fighters because I think in life, you know, sometimes we take things for granted. I'm not saying that you do. And, you know, we don't always realize that even though today is today, you know, tomorrow can be totally different. And I'm reflecting in the manner that of family and things of that nature because, you know, from one day to the next, my mother was gone. And, you know, I've had several dear people in my life just recently. Actually, I won't bring up their name, but they were a very pertinent part to the Midwest MMA movement and drive, and, you know, they lost their life to cancer, and it kind of hurt me. So I'm going to put you on the spot, and, you know, I'm going to let you, you know, because I know we very seldomly do this, and I was one that was bad at this, but if you had to make a statement to your parents and your family about how much you love them, how much they mean to you, and how much the support throughout the years has meant to you, Kira, what would that statement be?
I'm forever in debt to my family. I love them so much. They're incredible. I would do anything for them. That is a really hard question. I have a little brother. I have a brother that's 14. I have a sister that's 18. My mom and dad that support me tremendously. They know that I'm grateful for them. They know that I love them, that I appreciate them, and I give everything I have to them. I still live at home with my whole family. I'm constantly with them every single day. Like I said, me and my mom are at True Fusion together. My dad comes home after a long day at work. He's the one holding mitts for me. My brother's actually about to get out of school here in an hour, and I'm going to be on my way to UFC gym an hour before I have to coach my kids' class. I'm going to be helping him cut weight for his 15th state title coming up this weekend. So my sister's here right now. I'm hanging out with her. She's listening to this interview as we speak. So, I mean, my family, they know that I love them. It's one of those things where if something did happen to me tomorrow, they know that I'm so appreciative of them, that I've given everything that I have towards them. I would never leave them. I think that I am the person I am today because of them. I'm the kid that's living in Vegas that's home on the weekends. I'd much rather play board games with my family than go to a club. So I know that things happen in life. I know that it's unfortunate. We also have lost a few fighters in California and Vegas recently that things have happened to them. So I do show that I love and appreciate them as much as I can every single day.
Most definitely. You know, you truly are a star in this sport that, you know, truly has remained humble, has kept family by their side, and remained who you are from beginning to now. And, you know, in my heart, please don't ever change, because I think who you are is what makes the sport a better place. You know, Kira, sometimes we look at life and we don't have a full understanding. But with you, you're actually a very well-articulated young lady who knows what her path is in life. You know, if you had to make a statement about July 27th in Miami, whether, because I know you don't talk crap, but if you had to make a statement to your fans, the people that are looking forward to this fight, what would that statement be, Kira?
The statement is I'm coming off a hard spot. I'm coming off a loss in Japan. I'm coming off not making weight in California. This is a hard spot for me. I have a lot to prove right now. I have to prove that I'm not giving up because I lost in Japan. I'm not giving up because I missed weight. Even when I post the picture, I had people immediately comment, just make weight this time. Like, it happens. I missed weight. I understand. It sucks. I wish I could change it. I can't take it back. But, you know, I'm working my ass off. I have 12 weeks. This is the longest fight camp that I have to date. And I'm going to make a statement and showing them that I am a professional. This is what I love. Like you said, you don't choose to be a fighter. You were born to be a fighter. And I'm here to show them that I was born to be this fighter. I'm Mogwai. I'm going to be fed after midnight. I'm about to tear it up and show them who I am and what I stand for. I'm going to get the finish. I know I'm going to get the finish. I'm so hungry for this. I have great people like Casey, like Eddie, like all the 10th Planet guys supporting me, Carlton Gracie. I have so many gyms that love and appreciate me, and they're there for me, doing whatever they can to get me this win in July 27th. My family's right there pushing me every single day. I now have a nutritionist that is also a bodybuilder helping me with my weight cut now. So I do have a food plan that I'm on, that I'm working on right now. So this is going to be the best that I ever looked. So this statement that I'm making July 27th is that this is going to be the most dangerous Kira Batara that they've seen yet. I'm here to get the finish. I'm not going to take this fight lightly. Like I said, I respect my opponents, but I kind of lost respect for for this opponent going into this fight. I am going in there with a chip on my shoulder. I'm going in there to prove that I am the best of Kambate. I am still number one of the atom weights of Kambate. I'm there to prove to Mike Campbell, everyone in Kambate, hey, this is my spot. I'm the best. I'm the best on this roster. I'm going to give you the best fights. I want to get my brown belt. I want to take what's mine. I want to be up in the rankings. So get ready for the fight of your life, July 27th in Miami.
You know, I couldn't agree more. You know, there's only one thing that I want you to listen to, and hopefully you get a greater understanding of this, because true legends of the sport, and even, you know, some veterans that I hold near and dear to my heart, never call it a loss. They always call it a lesson learned. You know, the great James Krause did an interview not too long ago, and he was asked, how does it feel to be 22-7? He said, I'm not 22-7. I'm 22-0 with 7 lessons learned. So look at each experience as a lesson, not a loss. I've never liked that in the sport, because to me, anybody who steps up into the octagon, anybody who steps into a gym and makes their life a much better place instead of being the person that does the 9-to-5, pulls their car in the garage, and shuts off the world, you've exemplified what living and being a true person in this sport is. So always look at it as a lesson learned, because you're a young lady and there's many lessons to come in life. And with what you're doing and the life that you put out there and you show and all you give back, you can never be a loser, my friend. With that being said, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking the time out and to let my listeners know, you know, there was some things that came up in the past couple of weeks that stopped Kira from coming on the show, but we finally got her on today. She was a tremendous guest, and, you know, I thank you for taking the time to join me and humbling my listeners. At this point in time, Kira, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, the floor is yours.
First off, thank you so much for those words. I'm definitely going to be thinking about that all during fight camp. That's going to be one of those things that's going to help me push through. Like I said, I've been in the sport a really long time. I do not have the best record, but after those words that you told me, it's definitely given me a new point of view to look at where I'm at in the sport, and it's definitely made me hungrier to get after it. So thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. I always appreciate it. I always love talking with you. I want to thank Kambate Americas for finally getting me the fight that I want. I'm very happy that I'm fighting July 27th. This is a huge card. It's going to be the Madrid versus Barcelona soccer game that weekend. So we get to be the first of that in Miami. It's going to be huge out there. So I look forward to fighting Vanessa Rico Fernandez down there. I want to thank my sponsors, Eric at Holy Sheets, Dr. Denny Dumbler at Valley Spine, Lana's Egg Weights, Rev Gear, Bill Palmer. Body by Jay.
You can't
like
remember
I said,
them all, can you?
I missed weight. So Body by Jay, he's helping me out. I'm going to be the best I looked on point. Ikenga, he's the one that always does my fight outfits. If you guys are looking for shirts, for spats, he's the best in the business. That's why I always look so cool in my fights. if I'm missing anyone, I'm sorry, but I just want to thank my family, my friends, my fans for always supporting me. You guys are the reasons why I keep doing what I'm doing. I'm very fortunate to have everyone a part of Team Mogwai. I look forward to everyone that's going to be cheering me on along this very long fight camp. 12 weeks is long. Like I said, it's the longest fight camp I'm going to have. I am posting different challenges on my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter to kind of help me out as well as help everyone else out, try to reach their fitness goals and help me throughout my fight camp. So check those out on my Facebook. I'm just Kira Vitara on Facebook, Kira Vitara on Instagram, Kira Vitara on Twitter, and then my Snapchat is Mogwai_KB. Join my challenges, see my journey along this fight camp, and thank you for all the support.
Oh, my friend, my show is yours. Anytime you want to come on, you know that this show is dedicated to fighters like you. With that being said, thank you so much, and you have a tremendous day, and stay blessed, my friend.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Mogwai, Kira Batura, tremendous young lady in life. You know, I have such a profound respect for her. She says it like it is, and she doesn't hold any punches. She's not ill-willed in life towards anybody, you know, but I can guarantee you, with all my knowledge, come July 27th in Miami, that is one fight you're not going to want to miss. You know, she, like you heard her say, she has a chip, you know, to prove, and I think she will. You know, I just really want to thank all my listeners and Finished MMA with Juan Martinez, the United Way Merced, gosh, who else do I got? The 86ers.net, Affliction. You know, without these people, man, I wouldn't even be in this sport. So I just want to give back to them, give back to my listeners, and keep bringing a humble, real show each and every time. Please go on The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire on Facebook. Show some love. I get the numbers in the studio, and they're tremendous. But, you know, sometimes social media, us old guys, we're not that great at it. So, you know, don't let those numbers reflect what the show is. You know, I actually have anywhere between 30 to 40,000 listeners a show. So depending on who the guest is it's just been profound, and I really want to thank you for that. You know, on our way out, I want to take myself back to where I grew up and a little bit of music that I grew up listening to. With that being said, tune in tonight. We have another show tonight with Adam DeSabato. Looking forward to that interview. But let's go out with a little West Coast flair.
Yeah. Boom. You know how we do it. Bomb-ass rap song, hitting all night long. Just like me on the black and white ivory, getting six on a Tito. You don't wanna see a G break your ass like dishes. Buster ass tricks, sleep with the fishes. Running from Lennox up at Venice. They wanna have me a strike like Dennis the Menace. But that ain't poppin', ain't no stopping. Faux hopping, ass dropping, cool the bill. My truth can heal, fool, I got skills. So back on up or I check that chin. Down as fuck and I'm full off pin. You get no love and I thought you knew it. Fool, you know how we do it.